Good morning. Whether you are joining us online or here in the sanctuary, welcome to First Unitarian Universalist Church of Austin. We are a spiritual community dedicated to a free and responsible search for truth, meaning, and beauty. I'm Phoenix. I'm wearing a hat full of pins and a red sparkly sweater. My pronouns are they, them. It's a joy to be here with you today. Today is the annual youth service, which is a tradition at First UU. I especially want to welcome you if you are new to the congregation. If you are joining us remotely, and if you can, please say hello in the comments and let us know from where you are viewing the service. If you're here in person, please join us for the social hour after worship. Either way, we invite you to fill out the online visitor form at austinuu.org. Simply click on worship, which will show you a link to the form. We would love to get to know you better. Whoever you are, wherever you come from, wherever you find yourself on life's journey, whichever pronouns, whoever ancestors, whatever your abilities or disabilities, whether you walked in, rolled in, or joined in, whomever you love, you are welcome here. You belong here. We come from a long tradition of seeking a spark of the divine in every person. It is in this tradition, this living tradition, that I invite you to greet the holy among us, either in the comments or by turning to those around you. Now let us greet the holy that lives in each of us this morning.
Good morning. My name is E.B. Perry. Please join me in the words by which we light our chalice. We light this chalice to celebrate Unitarian Universalism. We are the church of the open minds. We are the church of the helping hands. We are the church of the loving hearts. We are the church of the listening ears. And we work together for friendship and peace.
Hello, I am Naomi Taylor, a Zdeshi, and I am very tall and I have purple hair. Bless you for who you are right now, right here. Bless you in your queerness, your gender fabulousness, your questioning, wondering, exploring, declaring. Bless you in the words you create and evolve and claim for yourself. May you relish in your divinity as you dismantle binaries and create beautiful worlds of infinite possibilities. May those of us who are not queer respect you, learn from you, and show up for you as you need. Bless you in your youth, your brilliance, your ideas, your curiosity, your incredible leadership right now, let alone what is to come. May you be fortified in the face of adultism, and may you inhabit the fullness of your being. Bless you in your faith, your precious connection with the sacred tradition, community, belief, and action that guides your life and holds you through the storms and celebrations of life. May your faith sustain you when your faith tradition honors you and when it harms you. May those who hold faiths that judge you come to know how very sacred and perfect you are. May those of us from all sorts of faith traditions respect you, learn from you, and show up for you as you need. May all of us, queer and straight, trans and cis, young, younger, old, and elder, faithful and faith allergic, bless you as your full, beautiful, queer, young, sacred self. Bless you as you. Know that you are enough right now, right here, and you are ever evolving, growing, deepening as your imperfectly perfect self. May we bless all queer youth of faith, all queer youth, all queer and transitioning people, all youth on our collective journey towards liberation. May you be blessed with the glitter of joy, dances of liberation, bricks of safety, and the nourishment of radical love.
I'll be reading Human's Core Function is Love by Adrienne Marie Brown. When we are engaged in acts of love, we humans are at our best and most resilient. The love and romance that makes us want to better people, the love of children that makes us want to change our whole lives to meet their needs, the love of family that makes us drop everything to care for them, the love of community that makes us work tirelessly with broken hearts. Perhaps human's core function is love. Love leads us to observe in in a much deeper way than any other emotion. If love were the central practice of a new generation of organizers and spiritual leaders, it would have a massive impact. If the goal was to increase the love rather than winning or dominating a constant opponent, I think we could actually imagine liberation from constant oppression. If we would suddenly be seeing everything we do, everyone we meet, not through the tactical eyes of war, but through the eyes of love, we would see that there is no such thing as a blank canvas or an empty land or a new idea, but everywhere there is complex, ancient, fertile ground full of potential. We would understand that the strength of our movement is the strength of our relationships, which could only be measured in their depth. Scaling up would mean going deeper, being more vulnerable and more empathetic.
This is the time in our service where we center ourselves together. We breathe together. And breathing together, we sense one another's loving presence. Breathing in and breathing out, we follow our breath into a deeper place inside, a place of greater wisdom, a place where the spark of the divine resides within each of us. Breathing together, we enter into a time of sacred silence, all the while remembering that nowhere in the world is fully silent. I invite you now to light a candle if you are so moved. Candles representing sorrow, joy, hope, remembrance, resilience, whatever it is you need to honor during this time. As we light the candles, I invite you to keep in your mind and heart members of your community who are ill or in sorrow, and those who are celebrating joys. Let us hold the silence together throughout this meditative time. And now we light one last candle for all those who are that there is not no one to light a candle for.
Hi, my name is Phoenix. I'm 16 years old. The last time I was up here, we talked to you about mental health. Thankfully, today I will be talking about a lighter subject. Our youth group is very diverse. We have gays and bisexuals and our resident straight boy. So we wanted to talk about our experiences with romantic attraction. This is mine. In sixth grade, my friend introduced me to the concept of pansexuality, attraction to all genders. I wasn't sheltered from queerness. My mother had been open about her bisexuality my entire life, and my best friend has lesbian moms. Despite this, my small brain had a hard time understanding that not everything was binary when it came to me. I had a simple understanding of myself. I was smart, creative, kind, and a leader. As I got older, it got harder to keep this binary view of myself. I had one crush as a child, and it was on a boy, so I assumed I was straight. Then I was taught about the concept of pansexuality. I could like men and women at the same time, and I didn't have to pick one or the other. I realized that maybe not everything had to be yes, no, on, off. Maybe I was more complex than that. Seventh grade was quarantine. School was online, I never left the house, and I spent most of my time isolated. So my relationship with that friend wasn't my priority. All I wanted was to live and learn. But on the first day of eighth grade, the same friend who introduced me to the concept of queer people asked, "What's your sexuality?" And again, I had an epiphany. I hadn't had a crush on a boy since fourth grade. So maybe I didn't like them. I answered, "Lesbian." I had been struggling for months to explain my lack of attraction to men, but they gave me the last push I needed to understand that I just didn't like men. Even though it took me 2 years to realize I was gay after learning I could be, that was easy compared to realizing I'm aromantic and asexual. No or limited sexual and romantic attraction. I realized I was gay because of my attraction to fictional people. Princess Shuri from Black Panther was my lesbian awakening. But after I had had a crush on, hadn't had a crush on a real person for years, I researched and learned about being aroace, a lack of sexual or romantic attraction to people. Or to state it, a probably overused metaphor, I never crave cake, but I would eat it if it was offered. I have dated people, but I didn't have a crush on them. I hope to get married, I want to be close to someone, but I don't get romantic feelings that often. I see relationships as a friendship plus, closer and more intimate, but not that much different. I was able to understand that I wasn't wrong for not getting crushes, I just didn't work that way, and that was fine. It may not have been the norm, but it was still natural to not be attracted to people. We can't all be making babies. Some of us have to go fight the lions for food. Being a person with so many obscure labels, I've had to get good at explaining the definitions and how they interact. If I don't get attracted to people, how am I gay? I understand where these questions come from, but it would be nice if more people could understand that I have thought about this. Sexuality is a human concept, so it works how I say so. It works so because I say so. These words are just tools to describe my experience to other people easily. They change the exact definition for everyone. Why does it work like that? Like math, it just does. Some people may not understand being queer, so they are scared of queer people. If that's you, I applaud you for making it this far. I understand it's hard when you don't understand something. Not everyone experiences things as I do. People assume straight is the default for a reason. But just because something is different from the norm doesn't mean they're wrong for it. Gayness has been documented in over 1,500 animal species, like lions, penguins, sheep, elephant, and our close cousin, the chimpanzee. Humans aren't unique for that. Over the years, my understanding of my sexuality changed from straight to pan to gay. I don't get crushes, but I do like romantic relationships. Even after that, you may not understand why I'm gay or how I'm attracted to people, and I'm not asking you to. All I want is for people to accept who I am and move on with their lives. Thank you for listening. I hope my story has helped you understand yourself or someone else better.
Please join me by the words in which we extinguish our chalice. We extinguish this flame, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. With these we hold in our hearts until we are together again.
this blessing of truth be upon us. The power of love directs us and sustains us, and may the peace of this community preserve our going out and our going out and our coming in from this time forth until we meet again.
This is a production of the First Unitarian Universalist Church of Austin. For more information, go to our website at austinuu.org.